need a break. Relax, grab a coffee, and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have your company this Wednesday afternoon. Well, wherever you are, whatever the time, whatever the weather, it's time to take 25. Sit back, relax, pour yourself a cuppa and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
The outside temperature rises, and the meaning is oh so clear. 1,001 yellow daffodils begin to dance in front of you, oh dear. Are they trying to tell you something? You're missing that one final screw. You're simply not in the pink, my dear. To be honest, you haven't got a clue. I'm going slightly mad. I'm going slightly mad. It finally happened. It finally happened. Oh, it finally happened. I'm slightly mad.
Oh dear.
I'm one card short of a full deck. I'm not quite the shilling. One wave short of a shipwreck. I'm not my usual top billing. I'm coming down with a fever. I'm really out to sea. This kettle is boiling over. I think I'm a banana tree.
Oh dear.
I'm going slightly mad. I'm going slightly mad. It finally happened. Happened. Finally happened. Uh-huh. Finally happened. I'm slightly mad.
I must say, I really like that song. And, you know, sometimes I do feel I'm going slightly mad. And we probably all feel like that sometime. But, you know, we've actually got Te Omaka back today because he mentioned something a couple of weeks ago in our kororo. And we just kind of wanted to explore that. Now, and that was when he mentioned that he had attempted suicide. Now, we know that here in New Zealand, We're one of the top countries in the world for suicide. And, you know, as you look out the window and you see the environment you're living in, you kind of think, why on earth would we want to leave this place? So, but it is a real stressful time of the year coming up with Christmas and adds stress to other people. But we just thought we'd give T the opportunity to maybe share his story to help some of us here maybe understand and maybe how we can help someone that's feeling in a bit of a space like that, because often we don't know. And I think that's probably true. So welcome back, Te Omaka.
Yes, definitely. Good to see you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you very much. And thank you for having me again.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting as I drove in today, I was following one of the Main Freight trucks, and Main Freight are actually renowned for having quotes on their trucks, and that they do a huge amount actually with literacy with their workers. And the quote this morning was, "The best way to escape your problem is to solve it." And I thought, well, for some people, solving it is the ultimate.
Yeah.
But how can we help them, to be able to solve it in a different way so we're not losing our people here in New Zealand? So, yeah, Tam, I might just kind of pass it over to you, but, you know, just tell us about that experience maybe. And,
one thing I'd like to take from what you just said before is it is my story, and it is just my experience. And I can only really talk to my experience because every experience is you know, different. And for me, what was at the crux of it, and I'll talk about it further, was emotional management. And my examples for me is when I was young, I remember my first bee sting.
Ouch.
Got my bee sting, yeah. Come crying to mum, as you do, you know, you got your bee sting. But the first thing for me to do was I had to stop crying before my bee sting could be attended to. And, you know, my mother went through the ways that she knew how to, you know, make me stop crying. And there's potentially a bit of violence involved, but that sort of set the scene for how I manage my emotions is when I feel pain, make the pain go away by not acknowledging it, and then you can sit there and solve a problem but keep all the emotional part away from it. And what I found when I look back at that, I realised there was this young kid, and this was happening in multiple ways throughout a family that just operated the way that they did and knew how to, but they saw a young boy rushing off into the meadow, sitting down on the grass, in the long grass, and no one could see him, hugging his legs and going, you know, no one loves me, you know, no one likes me, I'm horrible, I'm mean, I do these things, I break out, you know, and you just, these stories are reverberating through your head. And at the time, you don't know what you're doing to yourself by saying all these stories. You just don't know. And, you know, did you guys ever tell any stories to yourself as kids that you realise now, you know, something similar to what I did? You'll see that you probably still hold those stories today. And I had to sit there and look back and go, man, that was really happening to me. And then the next step was, now I'm this hardened being at the age of 8, you know, and I mean hardened by not feeling pain. I'm falling off my bikes, and all you do is stand up, brush it off, go put yourself in the salt water where it really hurts.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to go, ooh, arch. You have to once again sit in the salt water, be quiet, don't feel the pain, and just let the healing process, you know, begin.
Be tough. Yeah.
And then when I got older, I was very lucky in the sense that my parents were, I'm going to use the word militant, in the sense that you just stick there, you plug away, son, you wake up in the morning, you do the things that you need to do to get the job done. And that sort of just kept me sort of plodding along and moving forward and kept me bound within these guidelines, within these structures. But inside there's this little force, this little tornado that's, you know, when the time comes, he just wants to emotionally lash out and just, like, really explode, but he can't. He doesn't know how.
Because that programming earlier on, all that conditioning from mum to go, hey, keep it all in.
All that conditioning. And so every now and then, I'm this amazing person, and people are saying all these amazing, and this is at school, but then I'll go home, something emotionally will happen, I might lash out at my little brother, I might try and lash out at my big brother, and I'll pay for that in a big way, but that's all I knew. And so this is in my teenage years, like, I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like I've got it under control. I don't really feel like the world hates me so much. Then come first love. Ooh, amazing thing, first love.
It is, isn't it?
All those, you know, all those butterflies. Yeah. Can't wait to see them, all that kind of stuff. But what happens when their first love disappears?
Yeah, that's probably the hardest, I think, in anybody's life, because there's such, you're right, there's that, such that feeling, but it's so hard.
And it's the one you always remember as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I even go back and look at this time and I realised that me and her weren't really compatible. And I'll be straight up, and like, she was an amazing person all that, but we were never going to last the distance because I had my upbringing, which was completely different from her upbringing. If we were to talk about sort of economics in terms of wealth, I would have been sort of in the midsection and she would have been in the higher section, right, so to speak. And when I got to hang with their family, the way that they sat down, the way that they had dinner, completely different, you know, was sit down, take the time to eat the meal. You come to my family with a whole lot of kids, snatch and grab, first in, first serve. If you don't hurry up, you don't eat, you know.
There was a bit like it my family, actually, because I've got, like, there was eight children in our family, and it was, but it was still kind of very strict that, you know, Dad made sure everybody did get something. But I still find myself today, you know, I'll take more than two or three biscuits, you know, make sure that I get my bit.
But exactly, and so here I am, and I'm with this, you know, female, with this lady that I love, and then the world changes one day because they've made a decision, and you don't really agree with that decision. Like, really, really, really don't agree with that decision. And your world is just crumbling, and you're just like going, how can I handle this? And, like, I'm just a kid, like, I'm a teenager, and I'm looking at my brother that's 3 years younger than me in bed crying, and he's trying to console me, you know. So I've got a 13-year-old trying to console a 16-year-old that doesn't know what's going on with his emotions. And then, you know, I can't even talk to my parents about this because get over it.
Yeah.
Those are the words, or move on, or, you know, it wasn't real. You know, the sayings like that. And so that sort of took me into a dark place. But what happened was me and her managed to reconnect after a while, and I thought, oh, I've changed so much. We've reconnected. Oh, amazing. But then I realised I actually hadn't changed much at all. Like, there had been lots of change, but the core of me hadn't changed. And if the core of me was still the same, she was still going to see the same person underneath it all, in the moments that I wasn't putting up the facade, you know, that I thought I had created to win her back, so to speak. And then, of course, I made a couple of mistakes, which resulted in the same thing of us breaking up again. And then something in my mind clicked, and it just went, I don't care anymore.
Mm.
I don't need these shackles anymore. Actually, I can be as crazy and let this emotion out as much as I want. Hello, university, first year. Drinking alcohol and a lot of, you know, just drinking a lot of alcohol at the end of the day.
And that's easy to turn to, actually, for many of our, and especially for many of our young people. You know, we see a lot of that, those negative coping strategies actually come out, the alcohol, the drugs and, you know, stuff like that. Numbing time.
And first year of uni is all about that. Well, I'll be honest, I don't see that much of it now, and I'm quite impressed with that. But in my time, heaps of that. So you're feeling down, but there's this massive party going on with all these students, and you're jumping in with them because you're going, I'm going to drink as much as anyone can drink ever, and I'm going to have the most fun that I could ever have, and I'm going to let this emotion just go raw and just let it fly and see what happens. Well, that probably wasn't the best idea, was it?
But that's what you do at university.
But I suppose when we're out of control, we're not in our right mind, though, our real self maybe kind of comes out and surfaces and...
Yep, and then it started appearing. T, why are you driving a scooter with your feet after drinking two boxes of beer down a main street with cars beeping at you? T in the side of his head is going, really, it's because I feel a bit loose, a bit crazy. I just want to end it. And I hope that I might make a mistake, but thing is, I've done this as a kid and I know I can do it. So I'm probably not going to mistake, but I'm going to show off and do things that people have never seen before and just have them go, wow, you're amazing. Geez, how did you do that? They were so dangerous to you. Cool, good on you. So I get a little bit of a pump, but inside, while they're pumping me up, I'm pumping myself down, going, no, not that time. And then comes the completely drunk again, walking to town, and not feeling too well, had a few issues, emotional with a female as well.
And gosh, it's all our, us females just don't make life easy for you guys, do we?
No, it's, and I'll go as far to say, not really the females. It's really the way that we, that I was brought up that didn't, you know, wasn't conducive towards a great relationship with a female at the end of the day, because what I quickly picked up was behaving, and I'm going to call this old-style behaviour, where the dad is the boss, the dad makes the rules, I'm king it, you do what I tell you to do. Surprisingly, that doesn't work anymore. and so, you know, from that experience, I actually started to develop very negative feelings towards females. And so I thought, look, I reckon I could take all those cars on. So we're walking down Knighton Road in Hamilton. My mates are standing next to me, and one of them in particular, my guardian angel, just knew that something was up and tried to grab me. Nah, I kept it, and I tried to run at every car that I could, but no car would run me over. And I'm sitting here getting frustrated. I'm just getting frustrated because they won't help me in the silence. But then I've got a whole lot of guys over there going, whoa, look at Tio. Oh, my God, man, did you see that? Oh, he's crazy. Whoa. So more pump up, but still inside, pumping myself down. And these instances, always alcohol-related, and always after a scenario where there was a lot of emotion involved that I didn't address, and I hid this stuff away and just bottled it up, waiting for that one moment where just randomly, whoa, here's something crazy I can do. Okay, time to let it out. Boom! Let it out, and what do you know? I just do something a little bit senseless, a little bit crazy, but I just had to. Now, the big one for me was I was standing on Hamilton Bridge, Bridge Street, and I'm standing there with my mates, and we're doing this on purpose because we've all finished our last year uni, and we're finally going to jump off Bridge Street like the guys do at the right spot where you're meant to jump. And so we all jump off feet first, land, and it's like, yes, we're like, man, we jumped off Bridge Street. Oh, man, that was so scary. But for me, I've been jumping off high stuff my whole life. And to me, jumping off and hitting the water with my feet, the first thing that I thought was, I could probably dive off that. And that's where my mind was at the time. And I got back up there, and I stood, and I was actually standing on the rail of Bridge Street looking over, and I was going, yeah, I could do that. And the same mate, my guardian angel, came up, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and his eyes opened up wide, and I could see that he was scared, and he just went, don't. And as soon as he said that, I smiled, and I jumped without even thinking. And I did a head dive, I don't know, 25 metres high, into the water, got back up, realised I'd crushed my spine. I had to figure out some way to get to the side, so I was actually swimming like dog paddling, but instead of having your hands right in front of you, I couldn't even get my hands there. My back was spasming, and I had to put my hands out wide and try to doggy paddle in the Waikato River, which is rushing as well.
I was just going to say the current there is amazing.
All the way to the side. And what is happening is because I've hurt my back, my abdominals are spasming like crazy. Next minute they have to rush me to A&E, get some injections into me just to let the muscles relax. And lo and behold, I'd crushed my spine a little bit, just a bit of compression there. And anyone would think, hey, Tia, surely that's enough. Tia was like, no, I've probably still got some more issues in me. And about, it would have been a month and a half later, I was sitting there and I was walking home from town and I was feeling a little bit dejected, and I was walking back for myself like I've done multiple times before. I'd walk back, I'd stop at the mobile, I'd grab my pie, grab my loaf of bread, and then I'd walk the extra, you know, couple of miles to Hillcrest while eating my food. you know, it wasn't anything unusual, but this time I just wasn't feeling it. And as I got to the bridge, you know, I wasn't thinking of jumping at the time, but I was walking along, and then some guy goes, oh no, it's not some guy, his name was Sam the Man, actually, Sam the Man. I knew his older brother, me and him were the same year at university. Anyway, Sam the Man, very loud, come walking out, oh, cuz, I heard you jumped off this bridge, and I regain your watch. Well, I won't say the S word, but he said the S word. And I was like, thank you. In my head, I was saying, thank you. He gave me the excuse. So instead of picking the safe place to jump, I picked the closest place to me, jumped. I was so angry when I got out of that water, I went back up there and jumped again at another spot that I thought was dangerous. Still managed to live. And it was safe to say that that was the time that woke me up. It was the second time. It was actually the anger at not being able to do this. And I was actually calling myself a failure because all these times I'm going, you're failing. You're useless. You can't even kill yourself. How silly are you? And then I just started thinking, well, maybe this isn't for you. And then that was sort of the beginning of a very slow journey to, like you said, with Mainfreight, solving it.
Yeah, and it's about having those people around you that can then make you recognise that, yeah, there is some help out there or something, maybe. Or something, some little person, or as you say, just a thought that wakes you up, maybe.
Yeah.
But then where do you turn then?
Yeah. It's just so interesting because so many kids at the ages you're talking about do all these crazy things.
Yeah.
And we just think, oh, teenagers playing up at the time. Maybe they're all having self-worth problems like you were at the time. And we're just putting it down to teenage antics and not really latching on that they're actually trying to do something to themselves to get attention or to, for whatever the reason is.
And isn't it interesting because I heard of that just recently too, another young person who was very, very well thought of, very happy, you know, everybody loved that person, you know, and they did commit suicide. And it's interesting, so for us thinking, you know, as a friend or something, well, I can totally understand that part of it, you know. Oh, you are so cool, I want to be your friend, you know. You do some really awesome stuff. And you could see very easily how that could happen, that because of all of that, I would never recognise how you're feeling. Because you're right, you're just the cool guy that's my friend. And, you know, we do some, you know, wacky things together. But maybe that's, we all miss it. And maybe that's why, you know, sometimes we don't, hindsight's always, you know.
Always
such a valuable thing, isn't it? And I know a friend of mine, her daughter also committed suicide, and when she looked back, she saw the signs. But at the time, nothing indicated, you know, that at all. So, yeah, maybe we're just all busy, you know. And we're busy with our life.
Well, you've really got me thinking, T, because I used to manage the University of Waikato. I used to manage all the non-academic side of it for 8 years, and I'm just wondering if you were there when I was there.
Ooh,
and the amazing, that was in the 80s, 1980s.
Too old for you? Too old for me, too.
But I did have loads of problems with alcohol and drugs. I mean, I had one young man that I took under my belt for about 3 years who bashed his head against a concrete wall until he split it open and gave himself brain damage.
Yep.
And that was just purely from being depressed and trying to kill himself on drugs. So it's a big thing in New Zealand, and we're just not getting it, are we? We're not solving it.
We aren't. And I think, T, you've been so, so generous in sharing your story, and my kind of insides are a wee bit down now. But I think what we'll do is can we get you back next week and we'll just talk about some of those things that maybe you've thought of that maybe we can all think about looking out for, maybe helping somebody, anything that you've learned from that experience that you could share with us, especially, as I say, as we go into this very stressful time at Christmas to... Yeah, so that we can all just look out, because as you say, we're just not getting it, and we shouldn't be feeling like this. Oh, that's all. We'll see you next week, won't we?
Yeah, you'll see you next week.
Oh, that is awesome. And for our listeners out there, please join us next week and share your stories as well. Head on to our Facebook, Two Sugars, and let us know how you've maybe helped someone as well.
You've been listening to Two Sugars, brought to you by Delacroix Communication, delacroix.co.nz.